91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. This hour, we discuss a hot-button issue which just never goes away, South Florida's gridlock and traffic woes. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. Can anything be done to encourage commuters to use public transportation for their daily commute? Is the bicycle the answer for shorter commutes? We'll learn about intelligent transportation systems, which use mobile phone apps that give up-to-the-minute info on the best routes, delays, and real-time passenger information. We'll also learn more about upcoming projects along South Florida's South US 1 route and more about the Brightline Express train to link the Gold Coast to Central Florida. That's next on Topical Currents after NPR and regional news.
And we're back 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman.
Well, this hour we talk about South Florida transportation.
Now, people have used most every epithet about getting around our sprawling region. And we all know that green mobility, public transportation, bikes, and walking are the answers. But still, most choose to commute by car.
Let's learn more. With us now is the chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, Mitchell Bierman. Attorney Mitchell Bierman, welcome.
Hi, Bonnie. Hi, Joseph. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Good to have you.
Also joining the discussion by phone is City of Miami Commissioner Francis Suarez. He's on the line. He represents District 4 of the City of Miami, and he was a creator of Miami's Transportation Trust Fund. Welcome to you, Commissioner Francis Suarez. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be here with all of you.
Thank you also. Also with us in the studio is Jack Stevens. He's the Executive Director of the South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, known as, how do you pronounce that, SFRTA?
SFRTA.
Okay, SFRTA.
Correct.
It covers Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade counties. Thank you also for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let me start by asking all of you, since in part or in great part our program today is how South Florida can transition from dependency on automobiles to greater use of mass transit, I'd like your comments on last Thursday's Miami Today article citing statistic that mass transit use is declining, especially in the bus sector. Why do you think this is the case? Mitchell?
Yes. Well, one of the things that we at the chamber, we've been, our project this year is to try to identify the one or two most achievable projects and to get behind those projects and advocate for them, most achievable improvements. And this is primarily for Miami-Dade County. And one of them may be SFRTA's expansion of the Coastal Link. One of the things that I think a lot of our constituents at the chamber see, because most of us do have cars and do drive most of the time, is that the choice rider, the person who has the option to use a car or to use public transit, is not going to use public transit unless it's faster than driving the car. So if transit is traveling at the same speed as a car and is subject to the same traffic, there's no advantage to it. So one of the issues that, you know, we're looking into is whether we can, even if we're going to continue to use just buses, whether we can speed them up somehow by creating express lanes and bypasses to make that go faster. But one of the things I would point to is the availability of very inexpensive gasoline right now, and the fact that that buses travel in the same traffic as cars, so there isn't that much of an advantage to the choice rider to using them.
Okay, and Jack Stevens, why do you think? Same thing?
pretty much the same thing. The situation that we're in now, going back to your bus analogy, is that you really do have to take the bus outside of your traffic, your car traffic, in order to make it really worthwhile to use that and make it faster. I would say one thing, I would have one other issue, and that is in regards to speed. One of the advantages, particularly in terms of rail, but also on some a number of our regional buses, if they can develop that. But in terms of rail with Miami-Dade rail as well as the Tri-Rail system, you have Wi-Fi on there now. You're not driving. You're not concentrating on the road. You actually, the time spent is more the kind of time that we like to say the millennials won't. You can play with your iPhones, your iPads, and those kinds of things mm-hmm. without having to pay attention to the traffic. So we feel that even with timing, if you've got the time, the use of a rail system like Tri-Rail is much more advantageous and much more desirable.
And City of Miami Commissioner Frances Suarez, your thoughts, buses and why is bus ridership down when so much interest has gone into improving the bus service in Miami-Dade County?
I think they have a slight stigma problem where I think many transit or potential transit users have shied away from using buses for a variety of reasons, whether it be that they're not on time, whether it be lack of cleanliness, whether it be other transit options or alternatives. And I can tell you in the city of Miami, we created and has been extremely successful the Miami Trolley System. And the Miami Trolley System, rather than take you cross county, is a system that circulates people in a logical fashion along transit and business corridors. I think you add to that a little bit more connectivity in SFRTA being connected now, Tri-Rail being connected now to the Miami Intermodal Center, and you see users now able to choose that option, and seeing also the Miami Intermodal Center connected to downtown.
Tell us more about that center, Commissioner. A lot of people don't know about it.
Well, it's a big project that connects a variety of different transit options in one hub, in addition to it being a major rental car facility. It can be one of the, and I think the vision of it was for it to be sort of like a government center at the airport, one of the beating hearts of our transit hub system. And I think that's what we envision for the future. We hopefully will have some connectivity going west from the Intermodal Center. If FDOT is able to acquire the CSX line, which would connect Doral and would connect FIU along that line through to the Intermodal Center and downtown, which would be a tremendous amount of connectivity from a perspective of, you know, tens if not hundreds of thousands of people along that corridor. But it now, I believe, connects Tri-Rail. I think Amtrak runs out of there as well, if I'm not mistaken. Certainly Metro Rail to downtown. Buses, it has a huge bus depot, and it's also a rental car facility. So it's a transportation hub. We are now seeing that downtown is building another transportation hub in the form of All Aboard Station. So it's now we're starting to see the engines, the major sort of connecting points of our transportation system sort of coming together.
Commissioner, what is the Transportation Trust Fund?
Well, what the Transportation Trust Fund is a recognition that the city of Miami, like other cities in Dade County, and I'm going to be named now at the end of February president of the Miami-Dade County League of Cities, the cities have a responsibility to be part of the solution, of the transit solution. And we saw that, and Jack was involved, and Mitch was involved as well in terms of his public advocacy. When we put together the deal to connect Tri-Rail to another central station, which is to All Aboard, and that was a $70 million connection that was funded through the city and its half-cent funds, the CRA, SFRTA, and also the Florida Department of Transportation, as well as Dade County. So it was a collaborative funding mix, and that simply highlighted for me, in addition to the port tunnel, which also required the city of Miami to put roughly $50 million of the $1 billion that was needed to construct that project, that we should be proactive and think ahead. And so we created a fund that basically does three things. The first is it segregates money for capital projects, large capital projects like the port tunnel, and like the Tri-Rail connection. It preserves money in our general fund to make sure that the trolley system never goes bankrupt. And it also promotes aggressive transit development by increasing transit essentially entitlements, while at the same time reducing parking requirements, and creates a fund for that in the event that we're too aggressive and we need to build parking garages. So that's the framework of it. As president of the league, I'm going to be urging other cities. I'm going to be going to the cities that are on these rail corridors. For example, Doral, which is a well-funded, well-capitalized city, Miami Beach, Hialeah, and others, to pass a similar trust so that when they're asked to do their part, they can be ready, willing, and able to do it.
Commissioner, are there any real facts that the port tunnel has decreased downtown traffic? I've worked in this area for decades. I really don't see much difference in traffic in downtown Miami with the advent of the tunnel.
Yeah, I think what is the problem with seeing a decrease in downtown traffic is that downtown is densifying incredibly quickly and at a rate that is unbelievably high. And I'll give you a statistic to sort of explain what I'm talking about. In the next 5 years, I've heard estimates as high as 80,000 new units in the downtown Brickell Biscayne corridor. So you're talking about, if you have 1.5 cars a unit, you're talking about 120,000 new cars. So, you know, that's why I think mass transit and the things that we're talking about today are so important. If we don't get ahead of things, and by the way, that doesn't require any zoning entitlements, that doesn't require any upzoning or anything like that. That's as of right building in that corridor, which is very dense. So with density comes, unfortunately, as you guys said at the beginning of the program, comes more cars, more congestion, because right now people are choosing cars over other transit modalities simply because they don't have enough options. And so it's incumbent upon the three of us on this call and many, many others in this community to make sure that we are increasing the options for our riders so that they can choose something other than a car, which I believe is about 88% of what people are choosing to get to and from work today in Dade County.
Mitchell Bierman, your thoughts.
Yeah, so I think Francis, and I'm going to call him by his first name so we don't confuse him with the other Commissioner Suarez, and because we're friends, that Francis hit the nail on the head with its density thing, though, because density is both the problem and the key to fixing it. The more that people live in a concentrated area, the less distance they have to travel by car, the less they have the need for the car. And what you see, and this is why the opportunity to increase transit ridership is so ripe right now, because of what Jack said earlier, what you see with younger professionals is that they don't want to use the car. People who are my age and my generation, you know, when we were growing up, the thing that you looked forward to the most was that day that you got your driver's license and you could do anything and go anywhere. And we lived really far, and that was the dream then. That's what people wanted. They wanted to live out in the suburbs, and driving into work was, you know, for my father was a pain, but it wasn't, you know, the kind of pain that it is today.
A nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. And what the change that has taken place, especially in a city like Miami, is that people want an urban experience, a luxurious urban experience like Manhattan, but an urban experience. They want to walk. They want to be able to take the trolley. And the trolley is not an alternative to driving, by the way. It's an alternative to walking. So the fact that it goes as slowly as traffic is not a problem, because you're using it, you're doing that instead of walking, because maybe it's too hot out there or it's raining or something. You're only going a short distance, and that's why the benches are so uncomfortable. They don't want you there for a very long time. But getting back to that, you want that alternative. You want the Metro Mover alternative. Maybe you want to be able to use a bicycle or a bike share. But there's an increasing number of people who want that. And if all of that was there and there really was a real ability to get around at least the central area without a car, I don't think those people would buy a parking space with their apartments, because they wouldn't have a car, and they might take a car share when they need it, or they wouldn't keep one.
We're going to talk more about South Florida transportation in a little bit. We'll also address the All Aboard Florida Brightline service with Mike Renninger. We're speaking with Mitchell Bierman, chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce of Transportation Infrastructure Committee, Jack Stevens, Executive Director, South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, and Miami City Commissioner Francis Suarez, District 4. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. We continue with Mitchell Berman, Francis Suarez, and Jack Stevens. We're talking about South Florida transportation issues. Jack Stevens, address more of the regional plans for South Florida so that we have an integrated between Palm Beach, Broward, and Miami-Dade.
We're very excited about the types of activities that are currently ongoing. We are expanding our connections to all three of the airports, the major one being the Miami International that Commissioner Suarez just referred to. But we've also set up shuttle bus services so that you can go from Tri-Rail over to Fort Lauderdale. And now, as of about 2 months ago, we have a two-year demonstration program for shuttle buses directly out of the West Palm Beach Station into West Palm Beach International Airport. So we're connecting, doing what's called intermodal connections of all the various modes that we have going forward to connect how people travel and how to create options for them. I think that's a key, is to create options. You're never going to, a lot of times they try to get into the arguments about, let's get rid of cars, get everybody out of their cars, and that it's never going to happen. You know, that's not what's going to happen. However, if we can create viable options for people to use other means of moving through the region, that's our goal. Whatever that is, we support it. If it's regional buses, if it's local buses, if it's rail, whatever, of car, roads, managed lanes, whatever moves people effectively through these three counties, that's what we're behind and that's what we're supporting.
We're just north of downtown Miami here in the building. Trace me, plot me a way to get to my flight if I'm leaving from here to Fort Lauderdale Airport using all public transportation.
If you're leaving from here, you get on the school board station here, a Metro Mover. Less than a block away. You take the OmniBlue loop and you go over to Government Center. From Government Center, in the future, in a couple of years, you'll be able to get directly on Tri-Rail at that point and go straight up the southern area to the Fort Lauderdale Airport. But in the meantime, you would transfer over to the Metrorail, and you would go to the Metrorail station for Tri-Rail, and then go north to the Fort Lauderdale Airport station, grab a free shuttle at Fort Lauderdale Airport station, and go over to Fort Lauderdale Airport.
And how long would that take, would you say?
I would say that would take you about an hour and 20, 30 minutes.
And to drive it? I guess it depends on
the time of day. Exactly, the time of day. And whether or not you're interested in paying the extra money to use the managed lanes. That also kind of plays into it.
You know, you bring up the managed lanes. Let me just ask, I don't know if any of you can address this, but we have a serious problem with the managed lanes now, and sometimes a fatal problem in that people are lane changing constantly now from the express lanes to the main line, from the main line to the express lanes. It's causing a lot of trouble. Traffic fatalities. Is anybody addressing this?
It's called lane diving.
Lane diving.
Yes. Okay. And the Florida Department of Transportation, as well as your state highway police and local law enforcement, are all addressing that to the extent they can. But you know, from using that particular system, that it happens very quickly. And they're either in or out, and it's extremely dangerous, extremely dangerous.
So can anything be done?
In my understanding, and this I don't know this for a fact, but I understand that there's a huge budget to replace those little cones that you see, those sticking up that separate the main expressway from the managed lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To something that would damage your car.
To something that would damage your car and cause other injuries. So to put something like that in there would be probably very negative in terms of safety. But the most important thing is try to convince people it's not a good idea. It's not smart to do lane diving. So,
Mitchell Berman, I think we'd all be thrilled to hear that you've been working
diligently on changing the transportation industry, and you have all these changes in mind to use technology. Would you tell us what they are?
Well, it's interesting. I, both as an advocate, you know, volunteer with the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce, but also in my law practice, I've run across this a number of times and worked with companies that do improve the technology and the rider experience through technology. You know, one of the things that I think has been identified as a potential attractor for new choice riders to transit is to make it work more like Uber. And there are a number of applications that are available in the market right now that do provide the kind of information, real-time arrival information and things like that, that Uber provides for its
riders. You mean like Waze?
Well, I'm talking more about for public transit.
Oh, okay.
So that if you wanted to, you know, use, if you wanted to plan a journey on
like,
public
like
transit.
Like Joe just said, like how do I get from here to Fort Lauderdale Airport?
Now there are a lot of technologies available that would allow you to through an app, to plan that and even purchase the fare that you need to. That's in use now in Chicago in their system. That's a kind of a state-of-the-art system and a great example. London has it as well, and they really do work. I've used it in Chicago. You say where you're going from, you say where you're going to, you get a schedule, you get the fastest route, you get other routes if you want, you know, if you want rail only or as much rail as you want, or if you wanted to use bus only, you could do it that way, and it does, you know, provide a great way for you to get there, to pay for your fare with a credit card, to show your fare on your phone without having a paper ticket or a plastic card or anything. That's a real attractor to potential riders. And one of the things that you know, if you might consider, if you're in the city and you might consider getting on a bus, you may not get on the bus because you don't have $2.25 exact change or whatever the fare is to be able to put in the fare box. And there aren't any machines on the street selling tickets. But if you could get the ticket on your phone as easily as you can pay for parking now, that may attract additional riders.
So what are the chances of that happening?
I think the chances are pretty good. I understand that Miami-Dade Transit is looking into it. I understand that Broward and Palm Beach are in procurement now to get at least a mobile app, pay app. Miami-Dade is currently implementing a real-time passenger information system through a company called Clever Devices that provides extremely relevant and up to the minute information to the passengers, but also important information to the transit system itself, so that it can predict things like the need for a repair, so that a bus doesn't break down, a bus is repaired before it breaks down, a bus doesn't get a flat tire because the system tells the dispatcher how many more miles the tires on a particular bus have. They don't run out of Freon because you know, et cetera. So a lot of solutions are contained in the ability now to use all the available information, to mine all the available information and make it available in a useful fashion to the passenger and also to the transit provider.
City of Miami Commissioner Francis Suarez. Commissioner, and with your District 4 commissioners, what are the most common complaints about the city's public transportation system?
Well, actually...
And what are the kudos?
Well, recently it's been more kudos than complaints because of the trolley program. We enacted the trolley program in 2010, approximately. I fought very hard for it to be a free service because it's free in other cities. And because we were introducing a new modality, and the idea was, you know, when you're introducing something new, you want to make sure that it's successful. That's the first thing. And you want to get people accustomed to it and dependent on it. And then you can think about some creative ways. And I think that they would all be similar to what Mitch has sort of proposed or what he's talked about, which would be, you know, kind of an Uber-type charging mechanism where you can get on and off a trolley without ever having to do anything, and it will automatically charge you for the ride. But we've been so successful, we have 360,000 riders a month on the trolley system, that we're actually going to double it size, hopefully this year. So we should be adding a line that comes out of downtown and goes up Flagler Street up to 37th Avenue and down 8th Street. We should have another one circulating through Coconut Grove, which is experiencing a renaissance. And we have another one that will be in Wynwood, which has obviously It has become an arts and entertainment district in the city of Miami. So lately, it's been more kudos. Certainly, one of the complaints, and it would be solved or helped tremendously by the infusion of mass transit, connected mass transit, is cut through traffic. What we've seen when the Miami-Dade Expressway Authority decided to toll all of the different exit points and increase the tolls on its highways is we saw a flood of cars that were opting out of the highway system in favor of cutting through our neighborhood streets to try to get through to downtown. And that created a situation where we got a flood of complaints, and we're working with the county now because the county controls, for example, traffic control devices like street lights and stop signs and traffic circles and traffic tables, to cede some of that control to the city, particularly on the non-arterial streets, so that we can sort of recreate the neighborhood feel. We want, when people are driving in our neighborhoods, we want them to know that there is something different. We want to engineer a way for the driver to understand that they have to slow down so that people who are walking either by themselves, whether they're elderly, if they have children, if they have animals, don't have to worry that if, heaven forbid, they lose track of their child for 1 second or an animal gets away from them, that they're going to get run over by a speeding car that's trying to save 5 seconds in their destination. So that's something that has been a continual complaint, and we're working with the county. We're hoping to have something in February that will allow the city to take more control and sort of change the culture. I think ultimately a lot of what we're talking about is a cultural change in our community. As we sprawled from downtown, we became very car, and are today very car dependent. And I think now that dependency is creating so many adverse effects for us, I think we're now reaching at a variety of different great solutions that I think are going to enrich what is the quality of life of our residents in this county and in our city going forward. And it is driven by all the generations. And we see also an effort to repurpose urban space. For example, there's a
Commissioner?
Huge Yes.
We're going to just put a period there about the space because we need to take a short break. That's Commissioner Francis Suarez, City of Miami Commissioner in District 4, also with Jack Stevens, Executive Director of South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, and Attorney Mitchell Bierman, Chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce Transportation Infrastructure Committee. We'll be right back. And welcome back to today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
We continue the South Florida transportation discussion with our panel, but we add the perspective of Mike Renninger. He's the president of All Aboard Florida, now named Brightline. Now, it's a passenger rail project connecting Miami to Fort Lauderdale, West Palm, and Orlando.
It's privately owned and operated, developed by Florida East Coast Industries. Welcome to you, Mike Renninger.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
I think we got it right. Okay. For those who don't know, let's just go over what All Aboard Florida is, or Brightline.
Sure. Well, Brightline is the introduction of what we call express intercity passenger rail service that will initially be connecting Fort Lauderdale, West Palm Beach, and Miami together with this service that will begin and depart in new stations that are located in the hearts of the downtowns of each of those three important cities.
Now, what about the Orlando part?
And then ultimately, our second phase will introduce the fourth station, which will serve to connect the Southeast Florida stations to the Central Florida marketplace in a station that we will be occupying at the Orlando International Airport.
And so what's the timetable for that? It seems like the Orlando leg is the one that's most important statewide, of course.
Well, actually there are two really important linkages, one between the Southeast Florida cities themselves, and then the second link is the Southeast Florida to Central Florida marketplace. But they're both independently very, very different and very important. we are presently fully under construction with the first phase. We've got the stations coming out of the ground in each of the three downtowns, the improvement to the existing rail corridor that we're using for our service is also underway, and our fleet of new train sets is being manufactured for us by Siemens in a plant in Sacramento, California. All of that's underway, pursuant to us being able to take our first passengers on journeys between West Palm Beach and Miami early in 2017.
What does it mean to be privately owned and operated? How does that work with the tracks?
Well, the tracks themselves are an asset that our company owns, and they're really a part of the legacy of the company that dates back all the way to Henry Flagler, and they are the same tracks that were put in place some 120 years ago when he built that infrastructure spine that really gave rise to the development of Florida into what we know it as today. But they've been in private hands, means they've been owned privately, and the operation has been maintained privately continuously since their inception some 120 years ago.
Now, when the service is finally operational to the Orlando area, so you can go to Disney World or Universal, what will be the speeds we're looking at here?
We think about it in terms of time, actually. What's important for this kind of rail service is that taking the train offers, among other things, an important time savings versus the other alternatives that are available to you. And in this case, almost all of the other options are based around private automobiles. And so the trip from downtown to Miami to the Orlando International Airport is going to be 3 hours. The trains themselves will travel from speeds varying between 79 miles an hour up to a maximum of 125 miles an hour. But again, what's really important is the door-to-door trip is a three-hour trip. And that represents a pretty significant savings over the time it would take you to get in your car and travel the same journey, and really is about the same amount of time as it would take you to go to the airport, go through the security protocols, and even fly between Miami and Orlando, although the market for air travel between those two cities is really relatively small.
Mitchell Bierman, can you see a real tourism boom for South Florida, and that people could maybe fly to Disney World and then be able to zip on a train and spend money here in South Florida?
I think absolutely. It's not only essential, though, for the visitor industry and connecting the visitor industries of both cities. It's essential for the business community and linking the business communities of actually all four cities. Right now, and Mike will know this because I worked with this company early on in trying to work with the city, with Orlando. Going up to Orlando to do business is an ordeal, because when you try to fly, it takes more than 3 hours just by having to go to the airport, check in, go through security, wait for the plane, and deal with the delays and land, and then get from there to somewhere else. When you try to drive, it's a minimum of 3 hours from South Florida, even if you're driving at the kind of crazy speeds I like to drive at. So, you know, you're stuck. If you can, instead of doing all that, get on a train downtown and get to where you need to be in Orlando for a business meeting within 3 hours, the cities really are then linked for business purposes. So I think it's essential not only for the visitor, but also for the business traveler. I recently hosted a family from Spain at my house, and the first thing they wanted to do when they got here was go to Walt Disney World. Well, you know, for them, that involved getting off a plane from Spain, figuring out what they were going to do for the night here, and then, driving up to, renting a car and driving up there, and then parking it and spending all day at the parks, you know. What's the point of that when you could get off a train and be taken immediately to Walt Disney World or some of the other tourist attractions? I think it's going to be an amazing enhancement on both sides.
Well, we're going to take a short break on our program. When we come back, we'll also deal with some of your listener emails and a telephone call. Also, I ask all of our guests to stay with us. We'll be back with Topical Currents and more.
Welcome back to today's Topical Currents. We're discussing South Florida transportation issues with Mike Reininger. He's the president of All Aboard Florida. Jack Stevens, executive director, South Florida Regional Transportation Authority. City of Miami Commissioner for District 4, Francis Suarez, and Attorney Mitchell Bierman, Chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. Commissioner Suarez, I just wanted to change the subject a little and ask you, maybe you can address this. It's a general question and then a specific question. The general one is regarding synchronization and coordination of roadwork projects. In at least what I'm familiar with, Miami-Dade County, where all roads, for example, from Miami Beach to Miami are under construction right now. Who determines that Venetian Causeway will be closed, Broad Causeway will be down to one lane for construction, Alton Road torn up, can't get to 395, West Avenue construction, North Bay Road construction, and now they're working on 63rd Street, which is the only access to Alton Road and 195.
And it's the height of the season.
Yeah,
and so the answer, as with many answers related to government, is not a simple one, which is there's at least two or three different jurisdictional entities that are responsible for transit and for road construction projects in that envelope that you, maybe four, in the envelope that you just described.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Florida Department of Transportation that could be engaged in a road project along Biscayne or along Brickell. You have obviously either city, whether it be Miami Beach on the beach side or the city of Miami on the city side. You have Miami-Dade County, which is responsible for many of the roads that are contained in both those cities. And then you also have private construction.
The Broad Causeway is private.
Yeah, you have private construction as well, such as Brickell City Center. I mean, Brickell City Center is a massive, $1.5 billion project, but it is a huge construction project as well.
But I think the question, though, was about why aren't they coordinated?
Why? I mean, I understand it's all these different things, but I think I echo the sentiments of many, if not all, of South Florida drivers that it's not our problem that it's all these different entities, but it is, but it becomes our problem because, like on the 63rd Street utility work now going to Alton Road, there's a little sign. It says delays expected, seek alternate route. There is no alternate route.
Right.
What are we to do? We live here. I mean, not to mention the tourists, but we live here.
Sure.
What are we supposed to do?
Well, I don't think, first of all, to address the specific question, I don't think there's enough coordination going on, certainly. I think that, for example, one of the things that I've urged in my district, and this is a very small example, is Water and Sewer is doing a Water and Sewer renewal project. And we did precisely what you're asking, which is we called the county in and said, look, what often happens here is we tear up a road two and three times. It makes absolutely no sense for us to do that. Let's coordinate so that we can layer on top of your work all the different road work and curbing that needs to be done and curb restoration, et cetera, so that when we deliver a finished product to our residents, number one, we don't have to go back in there. Number two, it's a much better product. We build, one builds upon the other. But I think to your point, there's certainly a lack of coordination. I think the second problem is oftentimes when and I'm going to use an example, it might get me in a little bit of trouble, but oftentimes when there is a roadway project that's envisioned, for example, the reconstruction of the 395 linkage between I-95 and the MacArthur Causeway,
right,
being envisioned as this enormous signature bridge. Well, right now, if you were to, you just articulated five or six construction projects in an area. If you were to throw on top of that the rebuilding of that bridge right now with the density that is here and the density that is coming, I mean, you're going to throw the urban core into chaotic disarray if it's not already there.
Couldn't there be an overseeing committee or a transportation czar
Yes.
to coordinate between the entities?
I I think the good news is, for example, from city-county relationship perspective, is that
and state.
Let me just start with this. The new transportation director of Dade County is a former state official. She used to work at Florida Department of Transportation, Alice Bravo, and she also was a deputy city manager of the city of Miami. So we finally have someone in the county that understands and that has relationships both at the state level and also at the municipal level. And I think that's incredibly critical to increasing coordination between those three governments, which operate in an extremely different fashion. When Alice first came to the city of Miami, you know, I told Alice, you're used to doing things on a five-year plan. In the city of Miami, you have to have a five-minute plan, a five-day plan, and a five-week plan to survive. Because things happen at a much quicker pace, decisions are made, and we're much more flexible, and we try to be much more agile to deal with changing conditions. Whereas in the state, you have a capital plan that's 5 years in nature. By the time you get to the fifth year, where the project that was contemplated 5 years ago, or 10 or 20 years ago, a lot of times those projects are obsolete. But they're sort of programmed in, and then they kind of close their eyes and go forward. So that can create chaos as well, because of the decision-making process. So I would agree with the central premise that more coordination has to be done, and certainly that's one of the reasons why I was urging the county to cede control of its traffic control devices, because it also goes to core competencies. You know, the city of Miami has a core competency in maintaining the quality of life of its transit consumers, if you will. And that core competency may come into conflict with the county's desire to move somebody, from Aventura to Homestead. So, we're working on it. I can tell you something I'm urging, and I'm cautiously optimistic simply because of the person who's there on the transit department.
Okay. Jack Stevens, you want to talk about enhancements that are going on right now, right, that are already happening?
Correct. I mean, this is building on Commissioner Suarez's earlier comments. Miami-Dade is exploding in terms of transportation, and I will also add that Ms. Bravo was also on the SFRTA board, appointed by District 6.
What about Broward enhancements? Are they underway also?
Broward enhancements right now are primarily in regional bus, and they're primarily being led by BCT.
Broward and what about County this Transit. Wave modern streetcar?
The Wave Modern Streetcar is currently in development and design to actually create a 2.7-mile system in the heart of downtown Fort Lauderdale. There's about five partners involved in that. It's an exciting opportunity, and we're looking forward to working with them.
Well, we led you away from Miami-Dade.
Well, Miami-Dade, one of the critical components that I think we need to understand is that we have leadership in Miami, like Commissioner Suarez, like Commissioner Bovo, Commissioner Barrero, and many others, Commissioner Moss at the county level, that are beginning to see opportunities, particularly with like the CSX line that extends south of the Miami International Airport. It goes all the way to Homestead. That is a right-of-way that is available, if the state is interested in buying it, that could relatively quickly be turned into access for those people in that area coming north into the heart of the city, giving them options rather than roads.
There are a few other things that I know are...
Mitchell Bierman.
Sorry. There are a number of other things that I know are under discussion at Miami-Dade County. That CSX line and having some kind of rail connection there to link West and South Dade, enhancing the South Dade busway, which runs all the way to Florida City. I know a lot of the mayors in South Dade are asking for them to seriously consider upgrading that to light rail, which is a possibility. There's a 27th Avenue corridor, and there's also the Miami Beach connector. And the Miami Beach connector, if it's successful, has streetcars or something faster than traffic on both sides, as well as the connection between Miami and Miami Beach. All those are really exciting things. How we're going to fund them is the big mm-hmm. question, because right now we're not getting the kind of federal funding to this community that communities have gotten in the past. A bunch of us took a trip to Denver last summer and saw, an amazing transit system in a place where their traffic is bush league compared to what we have here.
Why are we not getting that funding?
Because it's not available anymore. The Congress just isn't funding those kinds of infrastructure projects in the United States anymore, unfortunately.
And
however,
what about the state? And the state?
Well, the state really has never been a funder of those kinds of projects. It's always been a combination of federal funding and local funding and some input from the state. What we do have today, which we didn't have 25 years ago, is a real interest from the private sector in actually being a participant in these projects. And at very least, providing private financing for some of this. Now, you probably won't see a lot of other things like All Aboard Florida, where a private company comes in and simply says, we're going to build a private for-profit railroad system. That doesn't happen at the local transit level because there really isn't a way to make a profit on it at the kinds of rates it's a subsidized service. However, the private sector is interested in being part of the solution, and in many cases has offered an important part of the solution. When you look at a system like London, which is the biggest system in the world, to my knowledge, there is a lot of participation from the private sector in that system. And that's one of the things that I think government officials are beginning to look at for South Florida.
Well,
the hour has certainly flown by.
It has, and there's so many more questions, and we had a lot of emails and calls, but we just can't get to them. We'll have to have a return visit and a return show, another show. Francis Suarez, City of Miami Commissioner for District 4, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mike Reininger, President of All Aboard Florida, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Jack Stevens, Executive Director of the South Florida Regional Transportation Authority, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Attorney Mitchell Bierman, Chairman of the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. And just one other thing, Commissioner Suarez, is there anything we can do as residents and to write to talk about this coordination of street projects?
Yes, get involved. I mean, write your commissioners, email them. I think one of the reasons why things are moving, even though it may not seem like they are, but clearly decisions are being made, and it's in large part because people are now actively expressing their frustration. So
okay.
I would urge you to do that.
All right, thanks
so
much.
Try riding transit.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us.
And that wraps up our program. We hope you return tomorrow for an At Your Service edition. It's our always popular topic, pet care, with veterinarian Ian Kupke and dog trainer and behaviorist Adele Miedes. Word from the late Ann Landers, don't accept your dog's admiration as conclusive evidence that you are wonderful. Of course, we'll take lots of your at-your-service calls. Today's program was produced by Richard Ive, technical direction by online producer Paul Leary.
We apologize to the callers and emailers that we didn't get to.
Remember, you can find all our recent programs for download at our website. That's WLRN.org. Also, check out the Topical Currents Facebook page. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.